wish the Argo never had reached the land of Colchis, skimming through the blue Symplegades, nor ever had fallen in the glades of Peelish oars for the hands of heroes who in Peleus' name attempted the golden fleece. For then my mistress Medea would not have sailed for the towers of the land of Iolcus, her heart on fire with passionate love for Jason. Nor would she have persuaded the daughters of Peleus to kill their father, and now be living here in Corinth with her husband and children. She gave pleasure to the people of her land of exile, and she herself helped Jason in every way. But now there's hatred everywhere. Love is diseased. Deserting his own children and my mistress, Jason has taken a royal wife to his bed, the daughter of the ruler of this land, Creon. And poor Medea is slighted and cries aloud on the vows they made to each other, the right hands clasped in eternal promise. She calls upon the gods to witness what return Jason has made to her love. She lies without food and gives herself up to suffering, wasting away every moment of the day in tears, not stirring an eye, not moving her face from the ground. No more than either a rock or surging seawater she listens when one tries to console her. Sometimes she twists back her white neck and moans to herself, calling out on her father's name and her land, and her home betrayed when she came away with Jason. Poor creature. She has discovered by her sufferings what it means to have lost one's country. I am afraid she may think of some dreadful thing, for her heart is violent. I know her of old, and I fear lest she may sharpen a sword and thrust to the heart, stealing into the palace where the bed is made, or even kill the king and the new wedded groom, and thus bring a greater misfortune on herself. But here the children come. They have finished playing. They have no thought of their mother's trouble. What do the young know of grief?
You old retainer of my mistress' household, why are you standing here alone in front of the gates and moaning to yourself over your misfortune? Medea could not wish you to leave her alone.
Old man and guardian of the children of Jason, if one is a good servant, it is a terrible thing when one's master's luck is out. It goes to one's heart. A longing stole over me to come outside here and tell the earth and air of my mistress' sorrow.
Is the poor lady not yet given up her crying?
She's at the start, not halfway through her tears.
Poor fool, if I may call my mistress such a name. How ignorant she is of trouble more to come.
What do you mean, old man?
Nothing.
Don't hide this from me, your fellow servant.
I heard a person saying, while I myself seemed not to be paying attention, when I was at the place where the old draft players sit by the holy fountain, that Creon, ruler of the land, intends to drive these children and their mother into exile from Corinth. But whether what he said is true or not, I do not know. I pray that it may not be true.
Will Jason allow it that his children should suffer so?
Old ties give place to new ones. As for Jason, he no longer has a feeling for this house of ours.
It's black indeed for us when we add new to old sorrows before the present sky has cleared.
But you be silent and keep all this to yourself. It is not the right time to tell our mistress of it.
Do you hear, children, what a father he is to you? I wish he were dead. But no, he is still my master. yet to prove so unkind to his dear ones.
What is strange in that? Have you only now discovered that everyone loves himself more than his neighbor? Jason neglects his children for the new bride.
Death, destruction, poison, fire!
Go indoors, children. And you, do not bring them near their mother. I've seen her already blazing her eyes at them as though she meant some mischief. And I am sure she'll not stop raging until she has struck at someone.
Death. Oh, rotten. Death is my wish.
What did I say, dear children? Run away quickly into the house and keep well out of her sight. Go now. She will soon put lightning in that cloud of her cries. Oh, what will she do? Proud-hearted and not to be checked. A soul bitten in...
I curse you, children, and your father. Let the whole house crash!
I pity you, poor creature. How can your children share in their father's wickedness? Why do you hate them? Oh, children, how much I fear. Great people's tempers are terrible, dangerous. They shift from mood to mood. How much better to live on equal terms with one's neighbors, to be safe and grow old in a humble way. Greatness brings no profit to people. God, indeed, when in anger, brings greater ruin to great men's houses.
I heard the voice. I heard the cry of Colchis' wretched daughter.
Tell me, nurse, is she not yet at rest? Within the double gates of the court I heard her cry.
I am sorry for the sorrow of this home.
Oh, say, what has happened?
There is no home. Her husband holds fast to his royal wedding, while she, my mistress, cries out her eyes there in her chamber and takes no warmth from any word of any friend.
I wish that lightning from heaven would split my head open. I want to die.
Oh, God and earth and heaven. Did you hear what a cry was that which the sad wife sings?
Poor foolish one. Why should you long for that appalling rest? The final end of death comes fast.
No need to pray for that.
Suppose your man gives honor to another woman's bed.
It often happens.
God will be your friend in this.
You must not waste away grieving too much for him who shared your bed.
Great Themis, Lady Artemis, behold the things I suffer.
My husband, I pray that I may see him. Him and his bride and all their palace shattered. Poison, fire magic, a sword.
Oh, my father. Oh, my country. In what dishonor I left you.
Do you hear what she says? And how she cries on Themis, the goddess of promises? Of this I am sure. That no small thing will appease my mistress' anger.
Will she come into our presence? Will she listen when we are speaking to the words we say?
I wish she might relax her rage and temper of her heart.
Go inside and bring her out of the house to us.
And speak kindly to her.
Hurry. Before she wrongs her own.
This passion of hers moves to something great.
I will. Those poets of old who wrote songs for revels and dinners and banquets, pleasant sounds for men living at ease, none of them all has discovered how to put an end with their singing. Grief, bitter grief, from which death and disaster cheat the hopes of a house.
Thank you.
I heard a shriek that was laden with sorrow.
Shrilling out her hard grief, she cries out upon him who betrayed both her bed and her marriage.
Wronged, she calls on the gods, on the justice of Zeus, and the oath sworn which brought her away to the opposite shore of the Greeks.
Through the gloomy salt straits.
To the gateway of the salty, unlimited sea.
Women of Corinth, I have come to you lest you should think me proud. For I know that many people are overproud, and a foreigner especially must not appear so. But this betrayal has broken my heart. I want only to die. Women are unfortunate. There's no easy escape for us. A woman needs prophetic power, unless she has learned how to manage him who shares the bed with her. And if her husband lightly bears his yoke, then life is enviable. If not, insufferable. Men say we have a peaceful time living at home, while they do the fighting in war. How wrong they are. I would rather stand three times in the front line of battle than bear one child. Yet you have a country. Your home is here. You enjoy your lives in the company of your friends. But I am deserted. I have no father or brother, nor any friend with whom I can take refuge in this sea of woe. But this much I beg of you. If I can avenge this wrong, keep silent.
This I will promise.
You are in the right, Medea.
I do not wonder at your unhappiness.
But look, I see our King Creon approaching.
He will tell us of some new decree.
You with that angry look so set against your husband. Medea, I order you to leave my territories in exile and take along with you your two children, and not to waste time doing it. It is my decree, and I will see it done. I will not return home until you are cast from the boundaries of my land.
Punishment? Exile for me and my children. Oh, this is the end. Now I am in the full force of the storm of hate, and I have no harbor. What is your reason, Creon, for banishing me?
I am afraid of you. Why should I conceal it? Afraid that you may mortally harm my daughter. And there is reason enough for me to be fearful. You are versed in evil arts, and are angry at the loss of your husband's love. I know that you are threatening some evil against my daughter and Jason, and against me, myself. I shall take precautions. I prefer to have your hatred now than to be soft-hearted and afterwards regret it. You and your children are banished from my land.
The children are Jason's children. He is your friend. What have I done?
You are a danger to my house.
Are you frightened, Creon, that I should harm you? There is no need. It is not my way to transgress the authority of a king. How have you injured me? You gave your daughter away to the man you chose. Indeed, I hate Jason, but you, I think, have acted wisely. Nor do I grudge at you that your affairs go well. May the marriage be a lucky one. Only let me live in this land. For even though I have been wronged, I will not raise my voice, but submit to my betters.
What you say sounds gentle enough. Still, in my heart, I greatly dread that you are plotting some evil, and therefore I trust you even less than before. No, you must go. No need for more speeches. The thing is fixed. By no manner of means shall you, an enemy of mine, stay in my country.
I beg you, by your knees, by your new wedded child.
Your words are wasted. You will never persuade me.
Will you drive me out and not heed my prayers?
I will. For I love my family.
Oh, my country! How bitterly I remember you.
Oh, what an evil to men is passion.
It is evil or good, as fortune will have it.
Oh, God, do not forget who is the cause of this.
Though it is no use. Spare me the pain of forcing you.
I am spared no pain.
You shall be removed by force.
No, Creon, listen. I beg you.
Woman, must I have them drag you away?
I will go into exile. This is not what I beg of you.
Why then this violence and clinging to my hand?
Allow me to remain here for this one day. This little day. So I may consider where to live in my exile and look for support for my children. Their father makes no provision for them. Have pity on them. You have children of your own. It is natural for you to look on them with kindness. For myself, I do not mind if I go into exile. I know that your will is law. But Creon, I beg of you, have mercy on my little sons.
There is nothing tyrannical in my nature. And by showing mercy, I have often been the loser. Even now, I know that I am making a mistake. All the same, you shall have your will. But this I tell you, if the light of heaven tomorrow shall see you, you and your children, in the confines of my land, you die. This word I have spoken is firmly fixed. Stay, but stay for this day alone.
Oh, Creon.
Do not thank me. One day you cannot accomplish what I fear. Farewell, my dear.